Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Well, I was born an original sinner. I was born from original sin. And if I had a dollar bill for all the things I've done, there'd be a mountain of money pile up to my chin.
Hey!
It is a Tuesday throwback to the 80s. So we would like to be Eurythmics to be your artist of the day. Fine choice, if I do say so myself, since it was mine.
I found a super interesting story earlier today, and I just want to pass it on. It's not a topic, but I had no idea this could be a thing. And it was actually over in England where this happened, but it doesn't matter. It will resonate with a ton of people listening. So a woman went to a museum, and that trip to a museum over there led her to her diagnosis of breast cancer.
Oh, I saw that.
This is the craziest story. Follow me here. She goes to a museum, kind of like, remember when the Museum of Illusions was here? I think it's still here at Union Station. It's fantastic. She goes to one of those types of museums where there's, you know, like, you know, the weird mirrors are in there. Different exhibits are in there that show different parts of your body in different ways, kind of thing. And one of the things they had at this exhibit over in England was an infrared camera. And you walk through this room and it would show you what your body looks like in infrared. And so she walks through with her family and they're all lined up there and they can see the thermal imaging and what they look like. And she notices on her, I think it was her left breast, it was lit up with this thermal red.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at like her mom and her sister and her daughter, and no one else had the red there, but she had the red there. So she took a picture of it. She thought it was weird. She's like, that's weird. And she gets back home, and a couple days later, she's scrolling through her photos and thinks, I'm going to ask somebody about that. I think it's weird. So she looks it up online, and sure enough, in some cases, thermal imaging can detect breast cancer in very early stages. The thinking is because of the different heat that radiates off of what's growing bad inside of you. So she goes into the doctor, and sure enough, Scott, she has breast cancer in extreme early stages that otherwise she would not have known about.
Oh, really?
And I'm going to post the story, and it's just so fascinating. The museum director even came out and said, we were very moved when she contacted us to share this story. We did not even know that this type of exhibit, the thermal imaging stuff, could even lead to detecting certain things in this way. It is worth noting that the FDA last year or this year came out and said the thermal imaging, accidental or otherwise, should not be used in replace of mammography.
Not in lieu of.
Because I guess there are some like wellness spas in California or wherever that started saying, hey, come and do thermal imaging and it can pick up your cancer. And the FDA squashed that and said, no. No. This is just one of those kind of anomaly things that I thought was super interesting.
Not to be depressing, but you hear about this young girl with Patrick Mahomes. Listen to this. 10-year-old Whitney Wells has had her good days and bad. Afternoons in which her bubbly, amusing personality comes to life. And some in which she can hardly move. Because 5 months ago, for 10-year-old Whitney Wells, doctors discovered a tumor in her brainstem. Diffuse intrinsic pontine glioma. DIPG. The prognosis, to be frank, according to doctors, is bleak. Says her dad, Scott, we're trying to give her as many experiences as we can, anything to make the day better. So in August, the Wells family, residents of St. Joe, drove over to the Chiefs training camp, and they met Patrick Mahomes, Tight end Travis Kelce, wide receiver Sammy Watkins, and the head coach Andy Reid. Scott remarked at their down-to-earth nature. At some point during the conversation after practice, the family provided players with a fundraising bracelet featuring their catchphrase, Whitney's Fight. You got this. That's what the bracelet says. Mm. You got this. Whitney has talked often about that day. She's always been a Chiefs fan, and the family rarely misses a game on TV. In early September, they sat and watched the Chiefs opener in Jacksonville. They spotted something on Mahomes' wrist, a band of baby blue, and almost immediately Scott's phone buzzed. A friend had paused the TV and blown up the picture, and there they were. Three words, clear as can be, wrapped around Mahomes' wrist. You got this. She couldn't believe it, Scott said of his daughter, his voice breaking. She's so excited. Later in the game, they noticed that Sammy Watkins was wearing the same bracelet. I had no idea they would wear it, especially during a game, said Dad. It made us feel like they really care. We're always looking for it now. It doesn't make it a better day when we see it or a better weekend. God, I hate Patrick Mahomes.
You just want to, don't you? And you can't because he's so great.
So perfect.
He's so great. Oh, bless his heart.
Look at that.
Bless her
heart. Look at
that
right there.
Yeah. You can see it. Oh, that is clear as day.
Yeah.
Oh.
Patrick, you're so perfect. You're a jerk. I hate you. God, I want.
He's amazing. And I mean, you know what? We are
Can the guy sin one time, please?
We are so lucky that
Seriously.
He is here. We are so lucky that he's in this city.
Can somebody photograph him going into bazookas?
Would you stop? Why can't you just accept something
he's
as lovely?
Dana, he's awesome.
You've always done that. You just can't see.
Oh, yes, I can. You know I'm being facetious.
Leave it alone.
Oh, yes, as the guy who can barely get through that story without crying. I can't see it. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
Are you kidding me?
Only man in the world that I know would bring bazookas into a conversation about helping an ill child.
I was goofing around. I love Patrick Mahomes. It's just like, can the guy be just any more perfect? I mean, is he Jesus?
I like him the way he is.
Does he knit sweaters for orphans in the offseason?
I mean, seriously.
He probably does.
You know what he does? I bet on rainy days, he goes downtown with a big, like, raincoat and lays it down in puddles for old women to walk over.
Of course he does.
I think he can do that anymore. I don't know that he could go downtown anymore.
You know he does.
I don't know.
He probably stands outside of Hy-Vee and walks old women to their car and carries their bags for them.
Of course.
Ma'am, let me load your car for you. In fact, I'm going to follow you to your house and I'll unload your groceries while we're at it.
Yeah, maybe.
Miss, I see you're about ready to walk your dog. It's a chilly morning. I'll walk your dog. Jerk!
Did you see we had a local trash collector who's gone like internationally famous viral for helping the woman back to up the driveway.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Did
it was caught on a Ring doorbell camera or
on
whatever.
On a Ring doorbell camera. And I want to make sure to give him, like, his proper due. I thought it was Kansas City. But, you know, speaking of just amazing things caught on tape when no one is looking, what a wonderful human being to help that woman. And I help her out, like, every week. And so the initial story came out about a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
And it was real sweet. And then I started seeing it, you know, like on Good Morning America, tweeted it.
She fell or something.
Yeah, she's 88.
After he had picked up the garbage, she went out and retrieved it almost immediately, if I remember the story correctly. And he noticed that she fell. And so now every week he empties her garbage and then runs her garbage can up to her front door. Or garage door.
Sanitation worker's name is Billy Shelby with Waste Management, and he was heard laughing with the 88-year-old in the video. It's good to see you, he told her. It's good seeing you too, she responded. God bless you as always, darling. He said, looking good. I like that hair. I got to work on mine.
Aww.
The gesture says her daughter was sweet and emotional, and she appreciated it, especially because her mother prior, as you mentioned, had tripped and hit her head trying to retrieve it. She said, I've seen Shelby before on camera helping my mom with the garbage, and I've noticed him a few times returning the trash can too, but not to this personal extent.
Is it local?
It is local. It's like he's helping his own grandmother. By the way, they picked it up in England too. This has gone viral, viral beyond viral. If you haven't seen it, I'll post it on our social media platforms.
We'll stare at Sam Stevie dinner item. Scott Parks on KMBZ. Guys, love, love, love your good news stories, but you gotta stop so I can dry up before my wife sees me when I get home. Good for you, man. Feel those emotions. Feel them.
Feel it.
Story here out of England.
Are you gonna bring me down again?
No.
Okay.
Britain's biggest family is set to grow as Sue Radford has revealed she is now pregnant with the couple's 22nd child.
I'm sorry.
22 kids?
Mrs. Radford, 44, and her husband, Noel, 48, posted a YouTube clip on Sunday showing her latest ultrasound. It comes after the pair from Morecambe, Lancashire, said that after their last child in 2018, there would be no more. Mm-hmm. In the video, Mrs. Radford said, so now you guys know, we're having a baby. It will be baby 22.
Is that its own kind of addiction in some cases?
I don't know.
Where you are either addicted to the pregnancy, which I have never understood that one, or the glow of, you know, that moment.
Well, you remember the time we interviewed my buddy from high school, Chris Heinzelman?
Yeah, how many?
I just, when I saw that story, I went back to his Facebook page. I counted 15. I don't know if that means that they're all there.
If you can't fit them all onto one Christmas card.
No, I'm going to show you his banner on Facebook. That's not his kids and grandkids. Those are just his children.
Right, 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 right. Someone's drawn names at Christmas down the road.
If your stick figure decal across the back window of
goes
your
down
minivan,
the side of your car,
right? If it even crosses the middle part of the car, you have too many.
You have too many kids.
Yes.
Past the midline. Past the midline. There.
No, I'm serious. My buddy Chris Heinzelman from high school has a minimum of 15 children.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what?
15.
Whatever.
Where do you put them all?
There's this company. It's called Trojan.
I. Some people are into the whole big family thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's actually a term for it. Quiverful.
What, for real?
Yeah.
Is that a joke?
No.
Quiverful?
Yes.
Like quiver of arrows?
Yes.
Huh.
What does it mean?
I could not handle a quiverful.
It is mostly in religious circles, but the idea is that children are a blessing from God, and so
they are a blessing from God,
and so you are to make as many blessings from God as you can.
My mental
and
health
have a very full quiver
is also a blessing from God. I could, you know this.
Oh, I know.
I can handle what I have on my plate and what's immediately in front of me. So my calendar tonight, I can't handle my calendar tomorrow. I can only handle what's right in front of me. With that comes the understanding that I could not mentally or physically do.
You couldn't do a fifth kid.
Oh no. Oh no. I got the ones I want.
But why wouldn't you just adapt?
I think I have everything.
Or would you lose your
mind?
You think you would
handle.
Lose your mind?
The thought of starting that over is the most terrifying thought to me. Almost without exception.
I told you Kelly's flirted with the idea of us having a kid. I said, what are we going to name it? Bahama Vacation Home? Because that's what we're going to be giving up.
BVH for short.
Yeah, BVH has a ring to it.
I just think many women get to a point in their, certainly in their 40s, where life is so good And you see, we had a little neighborhood party over the weekend for the people with young children. There was a bouncy house there. There were 1,000 kids roaming around.
And that sounds horribly Johnson County.
I turned to my girlfriend and I said, it was like the neighborhood fall party. I said, God bless those parents and all of those kids.
No.
Just looking at that is so exhausting to me because I can remember it was a very fuzzy time in my life, but I can remember that time in my life. And I can't go back there.
I remember, I mean, this is so Johnson County. I remember when Sarah was like 7 years old. I was still married. And we actually paid to have somebody bring over like 3 ponies. I'm not kidding. And we let the kids all ride ponies in the backyard.
I can't believe you just admitted that.
And I didn't take any joy out of their joy. All I saw were ponies pooping
all over
my backyard.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to be out here till midnight.
Cleaning that up.
Picking up pony poop.
No, they were fertilizing it.
No, these were patties, man. I mean, these are grass killers.
Yeah, that's not going to work. Because it blots out the sun.
Right.
Wrap it up and hand it to the parents as their parting gift.
Little discs of dead grass in the backyard if you don't pick it up.
Too bad you can't just, you know, strap a bag back there for it to catch
Yeah. That's actually a pretty good invention.
As it comes off the chute.
Yeah, a little chute catcher.
Exactly. It's like a feed bag, but the other way around.
We'll call it the poop shoot.
Do you not think the 18-year-old and the, what is she, 14, 15? How old's Maya?
Sarah's 18. Maya turns 15 tomorrow.
Don't you think this is the best age ever? I say that every year.
Yes.
It's the best age ever.
Because they can bathe themselves. Am I wrong?
It is the best age ever after about 12.
Story here from the USA Today. A tornado with wind estimates as high as 140 miles per hour hit North Dallas on Sunday night.
Yeah.
You probably saw the video.
About that? Mm-hmm.
Inflicting damage to homes, businesses, and enough schools to cancel Monday classes for thousands of students. However, Dallas NBC affiliate KXAS waited 6 minutes before interrupting the Cowboys' home game against the Eagles on Sunday Night Football with weather updates.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
Quoting here from the television station, quote, "We made a mistake."
You think?
"By not immediately interrupting the football game with a tornado warning." By the way, you can imagine in Dallas, the majority of TVs were tuned to KXAS.
Yes. Because it was a divisional game on Sunday Night Football.
Against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes.
Quote, "When it comes to dealing with severe weather, we know that seconds matter. We should have broken into football programming sooner." By sooner, I think they mean 5 minutes and 54 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
"We apologize and want you to know that we're doing everything in our power to make sure this does not happen again."
So, this was an EF3.
Now, in fairness, the station said it did stream the weather coverage on its website.
Oh, great. For all of those people who had power?
The story goes on to say the Cowboys beat the Eagles 37-10. To take first place in the NFC East.
Here's the deal. My jaw hit the floor when I saw this story. Texas is not immune from severe weather or tornadoes.
Tornadoes are actually very common.
They're very common in Texas.
Especially that part of it.
So, I lost a kiddie pool to a tornado in Texas.
Not necessarily to make fun of the meteorologist in, you know, Los Angeles. Remember when it was like Jillian Barbary or whoever?
Yeah.
But being a meteorologist in Texas, I am assuming that those are trained meteorologists. They don't have the weather girl in the morning that's joking around and saying, look, it's 80 degrees again today. They actually, because they have severe weather there, have people who know what they're doing to warn people in advance when there's life-threatening weather in the area. You cannot say anything to me that will help me understand why this decision was made and who made it, because the meteorologists would have been screaming, this is the big one. We have to get on the air.
I agree. And on top of that, most cowboy seasons doing tornado coverage is the only way you'll see a touchdown anyway.
Oh, no, he didn't. No, he did not.
I do believe I just did.
This is a rare instance where someone should be fired for the decision that was made here.
I would tend to agree with
that. Someone should be fired. Now, I don't know if this went all the way up to the general manager, if this was a news director. There are times when you have to make a, quote, tough choice, which I'm saying that completely tongue-in-cheek, because there is no choice between giving people information during a life-threatening weather emergency and watching a football game. What ends up happening when you do that is you get thousands of phone calls from angry people in the suburbs where the tornado is not touching down,
right,
wanting to know where they can watch the football game. You put the football game on the streaming service.
Why can't you split screen it?
Not during a, not during an EF3, Scott. No. Absolutely
you
not.
You put the game on one side and turn the volume down. Mm-mm. You still get to, for those who are not in the affected area, they can get to watch the game.
Because there are people who are in the affected area.
And they'll see it on the left side of the screen.
It is much more important to get that information out, in my opinion.
But Dana, what I'm saying is you get the best of both worlds. Because Dallas is a gigantic, gigantic metropolitan area.
It is huge.
How far did this tornado go?
It was in North Dallas.
Okay.
Okay, which is actually its own city, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right, Will?
Not that I'm aware, no.
It's a region then. Okay, fine. But I've been to Dallas a million times because I used to have family that lived there, and obviously I used to live in Texas. Dallas is gigantic.
Is it Kansas City gigantic?
Much bigger.
Oh. Like the entire metropolitan area?
Much bigger.
Oh, much bigger.
Even, put it this way, without any traffic to get in your way, traveling the interstate, it will take you a solid hour and 45 minutes to 2 hours to get from the far west suburbs to the far east.
And it includes Fort Worth.
But just Dallas proper, you're saying, is larger than the entire metropolitan area of Kansas City.
Dallas proper, she just said.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
So
the city of Dallas has roughly the population of our entire metro.
I'm trying to make it.
It's huge.
Like, just germane to what we know here. This would be sort of like a tornado striking Kansas City North, okay? And then there are going to be people in Stillwell screaming that they can't watch the Chiefs game, okay?
No, there would be people in Overland Park screaming that they can't watch the
Chiefs. Of course, everybody would be screaming. My point is, you cannot, over a sporting event, convince me that it's more important for the people in Overland Park to watch a football game than it is to warn the people in Kansas City North that a life-threatening tornado is coming.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, in a situation like that, in a town where if you think people love the Chiefs, it's crazy, weird, almost psychotic the way that these fans down in Dallas love that stupid team.
If you're dead, you can't watch football.
Which is why I say you split-screen it.
Oh, man.
You put the game on one side, and then you because here's the deal, Dana. Let's be honest with how we're dealing with this. You put the weather on one side because you have an obligation as an over-the-air broadcaster, okay, to provide life-saving or potentially life-saving information. So you silence the game, move it to the right side of the screen, okay? Then you get your weather person thing. And that person does the weather on the left side. If I am in North Dallas, okay, and I'm watching the game, and all of a sudden weather dude comes on KXAS, and I can't see the weather map as much as I'd like because I think I might be in the path of destruction, I'm moving over to CBS or ABC.
Well, and that brings me to my next point. If this was so important, look at what all of the other stations did. Now, stations might not have had the game. I understand that. But if I lived in Dallas, I would be looking at what time did the severe weather coverage start, where the air was ripe for a tornado and they started to see this thing descending. There's just no discussion here. You move away from the game and you post the weather warning.
And you don't leave the game on in any capacity on your channel. No. I think you're crazy.
When there's an EF3 on the ground, no.
I'd go split screen, like Scott said, with the audio on the weather.
Yep.
So you have the game still there in a corner of the screen.
Yep.
And no sound from it.
I'm going to see if Busby will call in, because they get this all the time. Why can't you split screen it?
What they would be split screening would be like a drama.
Right. A comedy.
And so without the audio, there's no point.
Right.
You can still watch a sporting event without the audio.
We have had to make these calls in Kansas City before. Over the history of the bad tornadoes that have hit, some of those have hit during Days of Our Lives, but some of them have during things that you would deem very
audible, not needed.
Watchable. Like, I'm trying to think if it ever hit like during a Final Four or something, and I'm trying to remember where the decision makers knew it's going to cost a lot of money to blow all of those ads out, which they have to then make good on. It's going to make a lot of people mad. Our switchboard's going to light up, but it's an EF3 and people could die, so that's the call we make.
Dallas metro population is 7.2 million. So think half the size of New York.
Busby's calling in.
Okay. We'll wait for Brian Busby.
I want him to answer why not split screen.
Okay. 576-7798, 576-7798. We'll stare at Sam Stevie, dinner right. I am Scott Parks on KMBZ.
I got my first real six string, blow it out the five and done. Played it till my fingers bled. Was the summer of 69. Me and some guys from school had a band and we tried real hard. Jimmy quit.
So a TV station in Dallas on Sunday night, KXAS, is being criticized because as they were broadcasting Sunday Night Football, huge game between the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles, a tornado started rolling through North Dallas. KXAS decided to wait 6 minutes before they cut into programming on the football game. Yep. They like their Cowboys down in Dallas, I'm telling you right now.
So I texted Brian. He's only got a couple of minutes, and so we thank him for his time because I know you got to get busy and do the four, Brian. What do you say to the people who say, why can't you just split screen it?
And, you know, that is an option. Split screening is an option, and I know that we've done it in the past, and I think that that's a good compromise. Sometimes, for example, I've seen my colleague on the other station, Joe Loria, split screen a NASCAR race with tornado warnings.
Sure.
And, of course, the NBA playoffs on Channel 9, we've tried to do that. So, you know, there are people who are fans. That's where it comes from. It is a compromise. To wait 6 minutes, though, to not say anything, especially on something as heavily watched as a game of the Cowboys, again, my humble opinion, it's not gospel, but I don't think if I was in that situation, I would be waiting 6 minutes before I would come on.
The storm was an EF3, and it did cross over a densely populated area of the city. The mayor today said they are very fortunate that there were no fatalities. And I said, and you don't have to agree with this or disagree because of the business you're in, I think someone should be fired for this decision. 6 minutes and an EF3, to me, you cannot defend that.
It's going to be difficult, especially with the magnitude and the population and the density. And, you know, tornadoes don't necessarily stay on the ground very long at all. Sometimes they skip and jump. Sometimes they bounce. Sometimes they're not on the ground for longer than a few minutes. So, yeah, time is of the essence to get on.
Let me ask you a serious question. If this had happened at Channel 9, like the Chiefs were playing in the Super Bowl or something, all right?
Mm.
And there's a tornado on the ground in Kansas City, and the station decided to wait 6 minutes before they broke in, how many octaves up would your voice go as you're running through the newsroom screaming bloody murder?
Do you remember seeing the groundhog video of me on YouTube? where the groundhog scares me, where mm-hmm. I'm like a Vienna choir boy?
Yes.
About like that. If I were in the chair and I would, as at the station, we wouldn't be waiting 6 minutes.
Would you just be screaming your brains out or what?
Sure.
And that's from someone, Brian, and you've been doing this for what, 33 years from someone who understands the anger from the people who will call in and write in and text in because it was in a different part of the city than they may be sitting.
Correct. You know, that's the problem. You pretty much upset 90% of the audience to at least warn the people who are in that path. And that's always what you're going to go through, and that's why I kid and I say, you know, that's why my therapist is on speed dial.
Butler was 62 degrees.
Oh, God.
Yeah. There you go.
That was it.
Wait, play it again.
You've never seen this?
Butler was 62 degrees.
Oh, God. February 2nd, 1995.
Correct.
You're fantastic, Brian. We love you.
I love you guys, too. Yeah, that it looked like a circus bear coming right toward me, and that's why I lit
a
up.
A circus bear? Is that what you said?
Yeah, because I watched the blooper show that was on another network that showed, like, the Soviet commentator. Mm-hmm. There was a circus bear being interviewed with a muzzle on it, and it just started pummeling her.
One more time, just for austerity.
Sure, very go wild. Ahead.
Butler was 62 degrees.
Oh, God.
It is funny now. It wasn't funny for those split seconds. I saw my whole life flash before my eyes with a circus bear. Because the circus was in town, and they loved to mess with me on Groundhog Day.
Hey, go give
me... It was just a lady dressed in a costume.
Go give me my news. I love you, brother. Be good.
Love you guys. Take care.
All right.
Yeah, that's why Al Gore invented the internet.
Brian and Lee Summit. Hello, Brian.
How you doing?
Hi, good.
I tell you what, when there's an emergency vehicle going down the road, with their sirens on, it's the law. You pull over to the right and stop and let them go by because they're protecting somebody, they're helping somebody. I feel the same way about the media. I don't care if the Super Bowl is tied and there's 15 seconds left to go. Somebody's lives are in danger. Somebody's loved ones are in danger. Interrupt the game.
What a great analogy, Brian. That is a great analogy.
Well, thank you. It's just how I feel. I mean, I just sit here and boil when I think about that. You know, that could be my loved ones that are in danger. But, you know, nobody bats an eye when there's an emergency vehicle going down the road. You pull over and you let them go by. So, right. Anyhow.
Amen.
My thoughts, anyway.
Hey, Brian, you have a good afternoon, buddy. Do appreciate the call in.
You too.
All right, you take care of yourself. I still stand with Brian Busby. He said it was a
split screen.
Go with the split screen.
Go with the split screen.
Legitimate compromise. God, it sucks being right.
I still remember the anger over interrupting the Young and the Restless.
Yes.
During 9/11 coverage and Dan Rather at time.
Do you remember? People were
furious. And I'm thinking, we're at war. Do you not understand what's happening here?
Let me give you a radio analogy to this.
Please go find Marlena and see what's going on in her life while we're about to go to war.
It's Marlena.
Whatever.
Okay. But anyway, on 9/11, I will never forget, you know, 9/11 occurred like at 8-something in the morning, whatever. And I was the news director here at the time. And I'm in the newsroom. Everything is going to hell in a handbasket. It's chaos everywhere. Nobody knows what's going on. We're sending reporters to Whiteman, Fort Leavenworth, everywhere we can think. And it's like 12:30 in the afternoon. And, of course, we're going with ABC wall-to-wall coverage, right? It's 9/11, for God's sakes. Yeah. Phone rings in the newsroom. There's this old lady on the other end. She goes, hello? And I said, yes, hi. Newsroom, Scott Parks. She goes, where's Rush Limbaugh? I kid you not. And I said, well, ma'am, we've decided not to air Rush today. We're doing ABC coverage of the terrorist attacks in New York and Washington. Next line out of her mouth. If Rush thinks it's important, he'll tell us.
Mm-hmm. This is why I don't work in a newsroom like that anymore, because my gut was to say, please stop talking, you're an idiot, and hang up the phone. And that's frowned upon when you work for a news organization.
That is correct.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.